Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. This is a weekend wrap. How's that sound? Weekend wrap. It's the weekend. It's Friday. Eric the Tech, how you doing?
Doing good.
Ready for the weekend?
Yeah.
All right. We don't have Lady, the studio dog, is snoozing in my office. Maybe she'll make a cameo. Theo, of course, is at home. So we can't have cameos by Theo, but perhaps the lady later on, Lady the Studio Dog. A lot of things to get into. Again, the weekend wrap. Of course, this week we saw Super Tuesday. We saw a whole bunch of, well, not a whole bunch, but Elizabeth, Pocahontas. We saw her dropping out. Of course, Bloomberg in the background funding more Democratic socialists or socialist candidates. We're looking at in the economic sector, rates nearing zero. There are a lot of concerns about institutional liquidity. There's discussion about tax cuts. And a lot of this has to do with the effects or impact from the corona, the novel coronavirus or COVID-19. You know, it's amazing. I watched somebody sent me a hit piece on Steve Quayle, myself, and Epic Times, and where this moron, in my view, mentions us, you know, pejoratively, and saying, you know, we sell fear and we sell everything. You know, it's not that, not even close. You're looking at the impact from a novel coronavirus. Okay, coronavirus is simply a respiratory virus, which coronavirus, that term's been around for the last 50-plus years. But this specific strain, in fact, two strains, I don't know whether you heard this being somewhat confirmed this week. You've got two different strains, the L strain and the S strain. Well, the S strain is the lesser severe of the two. The L strain kind of, that's pretty bad if you get the L strain as opposed to the S strain. And of course, the news about the coronavirus and the different strains and the impacts and such, the number of people who are getting this and the number who are recovering and then being infected by a separate virus, and then of course those who have died, it's difficult to get the numbers anywhere you go. Specifically China, obviously we can't depend on a thing about what they say, but I'm going to be talking about that here momentarily. So a lot of headlines right now, though. By the way, the February job rates exceeded expectations. Now, is this like the calm before the storm? Is this something that we're going to see maybe the last of, for a number of reasons? And remember, the economy is the driver for elections and for re-elections of candidates and such. So you want to keep your eye on that. By the way, I want to just note this. My hat's off to Stan and Steve and others to talk about this. There were 7 earthquakes rattling Oklahoma. Seriously? Now, some will say, well, that's because of fracking, or that's because of, well, you know what? Earthquakes in diverse places. You look at all of the earthquakes, I'm telling you, and volcanic activity. Yeah, I'd go with the biblical explanation. I don't know about you, but that's just me. Look, I'm not, and I want to make this clear. I'm not a journalist. I'm not even a good talk show host. I'm an investigator by profession, and that's what I do the best. And it doesn't take a detective to realize, in my view anyway, it certainly doesn't take a detective to understand what's going on here when we see these earthquakes and earth changes and volcanic activity, locust plagues. What's going on? It's interesting, too, when you go through Twitter and Facebook and other social media posts. I don't know how many people have seen these where, for example, there was a recent Twitter post. I think it was earlier this morning. I'm not sure. Boston Logan saying, oh, my goodness, no lines at security. People aren't traveling. This is going to have a serious – the virus, and that primarily is the major concern. It's going to have a major impact on the economy. Just watch. All right. I want to talk about a number of things here, again, in this week wrap, and especially about here in a little bit about what really is the cause of this virus. If you can blame one person on the spread and the upcoming shortages, who would you point the finger to? Think about that as I get into other stories. Just kind of let that ruminate. Let that percolate in the back of your mind. Who would you say, man, I would blame him for the impact that this virus has. Oh, give me your names. Think about it. One person I'd point the finger at. I mean, there's more, but one in particular. In fact, there's about 535 more. One person. Particular. All right. I want to show you a video. This, in fact, if you go to Hagman Report on Twitter, our Twitter account, and folks, follow us on Twitter, please. Eric the Tech and I would love to. And Theo and Lady, they'd be ecstatic if you followed us on Twitter. This I posted early this morning on Twitter. This is about some liberal lunacy. This was, if you haven't seen this, I know Alex Jones earlier today put this up. I beat him to it, I think. And by the way, what's with the shaved head? Alex, come on, man. Love your brother, but man, what's up with that? He's sporting that new look. But anyway, you talk about some liberal lunacy here. And it's not even liberal lunacy. It's, I think, Common Core. It's really this drive for this socialist / communist agenda. Now, there will be fatalities. And I'm not talking about bodies. I'm talking about fatalities of common sense when you infuse Common Core into things. Watch this. Watch this video from MSNBC. Have you seen this? And pay really close attention to the words. It's a minute long. Pay really close attention to this video. Go ahead.
Ben, he could have given every American $1 million.
You might want to restart that screen. I think we lost some
words. When I read it,
somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
Got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population, $327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it. It's true. It's disturbing. Somebody tweeted recently that...
Eric the Tech. See anything wrong with that?
$1 million a person?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the population of the United States is about 327 million.
Yes.
Okay. 500 million or half a billion is what was spent allegedly. So let's do the math together, shall we? Not carry the one, not. Let's play that one more time. Oh, sorry about that. We don't have it? I mean, did you dump it? Okay. We have this.
Somebody tweeted recently that actually with the money he spent, he could have given every American $1 million.
I got it. Let's put it up on the screen. When I read it tonight on social media, it kind of all became clear.
Okay, stop.
Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads.
When I read it, it became clear. So let's read this together. Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads. The U.S. population is 327 million. Let's say our U.S. population, let me make it easy for you. Let's say our U.S. population was 500 million and he spent $500 million on ads. Let's get back down to the math here. 500 million. Yeah, that comes to $1 million a person, and have money left over for lunch. Folks, come on. You see, I'm not going to insult you, but did you see? You understand what the problem is, right? A dollar a person, I can understand. I got that. Maybe have 40 cents or 45 cents left over. Oh my goodness. Brian Wilson going, yeah. I can see it. I saw it. Yep. You know what the sad part is? I saw people posting that and tweeting that out and putting that on some forums and stuff. Yeah, I know. It seems like I'm spending a lot of time talking about this lunacy, but you've got to. And yet, we, this platform, dear Lord, this platform, we are fake news. And some might say, well, that was a mistake. Do you realize how many people have to, I don't have any copy in front of me. I don't have, what do they call those things? What are those things that you read from? Teleprompters. Thank you. I don't have teleprompters, but do you realize the editorial process that that copy goes through? Oh, Lord. Save us, really. I mean, really save us. You talk about a glaring error and people going, yeah. And Brian went, yeah. And he even makes a point to say, went over this. It's clear as day. Yeah. All right. Continuing on with what's taking place. And again, wrapping up the headlines and such. And of course, there was this, I don't even know what you would call it. Celebrating infanticide. That's the only way. Celebrating murder. There's a long, compliments of Daily Caller. There's like a 4 or 5 minute video from this, and I'm not going to play that because that is just too much, and I'd end up, you know, it just wouldn't be pretty. And I won't subject you to this. But there is one important segment. It's about a minute 19. And, this is from a Twitter, posting by Bussie Phillips. You know that actress from, she appeared with Courtney Cox and whatever that show was. And these are this is Hollywood in quotes, dreaded air quotes, elite. And when you look at, now this appeared on InfoWars. I think it appeared today or yesterday. I'm not sure. But when you look at some of the videos below that, it's troubling. I mean, troubling. It's heart-rending troubling. But of all the people who spoke, I suppose, and there were some who were very profane. And by the way, I'm going to give you a warning. There's a bad word here, and it's the F word, and we're not going to bleep it out. So if you have any children, you don't want to hear this, please. I'm going to 30 or 20 second countdown here. Give you a chance to get them out of the room if you so desire. But the whole thing is profane as far as I'm concerned. This whole thing is profane. These women got together and they're celebrating the murder of unborn children. And it is not just liberal lunacy, but it's an attack on our morality. And the reason I'm focusing in on this is because at the end of the day, I truly believe we need to protect the unborn, the most innocent of them all. And there are a lot of discussions that spring forward from this topic, discussions about healthcare. This, not that they're right, not that they're correct, or not that they should be associated with this. Discussions about my body, my choice, women's rights, okay, and so on. So there, this is an area for a lot of discussion. So this from this Busy Phillips, or how are you, Busy Phillips, or it's spelled like busy, but I don't know how you pronounce it. It's, go ahead and play it.
Here I was, sitting in Los Angeles in my beautiful office of my own late night talk show. Soon I would be driving my hybrid car to my beautiful fucking home to kiss my two beautiful and healthy children and my husband, who had taken the year off to parent so I could focus on my career. And I have all of this, all of it, because I was allowed bodily autonomy at 15. I will not be shamed into being quiet. We will not be shamed into being quiet never again. I will never stop talking about my abortion or my periods or my experiences in childbirth, my episiotomies, my yeast infections, or my ovulation that lines up with the moon.
Did you hear that? Classy, right? Right, ladies? Classy? I wonder how many of the ladies who listen talk like that. I would bet none. I wonder how many of the wives of the men who listen to this show talk like that. I would bet none. You look at this and you almost think it's parody. You even pray it's parody, but it's not. Yeast infections. And I know, look, you might think, well, you're focusing on the wrong people, or this is not that big of a deal, or this is maybe not the norm, but it is. And that's the problem. And we've allowed it to become the norm. We've allowed this kind of discussion to be okay. And, you know, in 1973, Roe v. Wade, that Supreme Court decision, which they had no business deciding, and certainly is not the law of the land, but that did you hear talk like this in 74 and 75? To some extent you did, and usually that was in the valley over on the West Coast, or maybe even on New York, Northeast, U.S., maybe, but certainly not to that extent and not that depth and not that profane. And profane is indeed the word to use. Folks, the socialist left is profane. If I was doing this weak rap here, the takeaway is the profanity of the socialist or communist left in the United States of America. The lack of God, the lack of any sense of right and wrong. Well, maybe they do have sense of right and wrong, but they don't care, or they care too much about worshiping their pagan gods, small g. I want to toss this out there. I was troubled last night. I'm not going to give this individual or this, I'm not going to give this any oxygen. I was contacted by Russ Dizdar last night. And, there's a, there's a curse out there from a warlock, a Satan worshiper, against Russ and his crew and his family and against Steve and against us and against, and it has a child in there. It's a audio, piece of audio, and it's got a child at the end. And it's a curse. Sent chills up and down my spine and, you know, prayer right away. And of course, you know, rebuking that in the name of Jesus. Folks, I understand all of that. Okay. But that reminded me of the fight that the fight in which we're in. It's not a fight here on earth. It's a fight between good and evil. And the number of people who are embracing evil and practicing Satanism is rising incredibly. And this is why it's so important to me when we talk about, for example, when we talk about pedophilia, horrible thing to talk about, or child abuse, or Satan worship. Russ Dizdar addresses this. And he has boots on the ground to actively fight this. Craig Sawyer the same way. And the reason I get so upset at people, if you disagree with someone or if you think that do not use the phrase satanic pedophile. Like you're saying, you know, God bless you. Don't do that. Don't call everyone you disagree with, everything you see, satanic pedophilia, because it diminishes the importance and the investigation into a legitimate investigation into those areas, Satanism and pedophilia, which are connected, and satanic pedophilia, which is an entirely separate but real thing. So there are legitimate groups, again, like Craig Sawyer and Russ Dizdar, especially on the, when I say especially, I'm talking about the spiritual component to Russ's, as well as Craig's, but Russ is really leading off with the spiritual aspect of the spiritual fight of this. This is why I get so angry when people say, oh, he's a satanic pedophile. This, you know, let's not use that as this blanket pejorative, because it diminishes the importance. What I heard last night. But again, I'm not gonna play it. I won't play it on the air. I'm not gonna give this individual, and we know who this individual is. Look, you know what I do for a living, right? So I know exactly where this person is. I know exactly who this person is. I'm telling you, this war is ramping up. If I would leave you with, if this was my last broadcast today, if God decided to take me home today, tomorrow, whatever, I would say this, remember that we are fighting on a spiritual level first and primarily, not just on a physical level, but a spiritual level. And it's only getting worse. And that is what is behind. That's the driver of the action of the socialist communist left. The pagan or Satan, different, distinctly different worship. Going against the God of the Bible, if you want to paint with a broader brush. That's what's taking place right now. And I know you know that. But to see this happen in real time and to hear it and to realize that you, the people who are fighting for morality, the people who are fighting for the lives of the unborn, the people who are fighting for biblical marriage and everything that's good, you folks are targets. I'm just kind of in the way. Russ is in the way. Craig said, we're just in the way. And wow. It's amazing. I know I got off kind of on a tangent there, but, you know, you can't have this discussion, I don't believe, without bringing in the spiritual component to this. And I pray, and you know what? I thank each and every one of you for your, commitment to biblical principles and the godliness. Man. Yeah, you know, and look, I know the armor of God. I understand that. But when you hear that, yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit more about, you know, let's see here. Are we doing on time? I'll tell you what. If I have time, I might come back to this, this busy Phillips or bussy Phillips thing. I don't want to get, too deep into this, if we don't have time. Let's go to, you talk about the results of the left, the policy of the left, the policy of the godless communist socialists in this country. This video, I believe, paints a good picture of where we're at. And that's if we can, the second video that I sent, or the last video I sent, I should say, which would be number two on the video two, if we can play this. And this is a few minutes long. Pay attention to all of this. And then on the other side of this video, I want to talk to you about this. Go ahead.
Please leave the store. Oh my God! Call the police! Yes, we need a police officer. Major robbery at Walford, 1630 Ocean Avenue. Yes, they're friendly.
Such scenes are becoming common in San Francisco, where the city's left-wing officials no longer enforce so-called quality of life crimes like public urination or defecation or even open-air drug use.
So the homelessness in San Francisco is out of control. I would say the majority of people that are homeless are not homeless. They're mentally ill / drug addicts. Quality of life laws have to be enforced. Urinating on the street, defecating, sleeping, shooting heroin on the street should be illegal.
It's scary.
Addicts do drugs on the sidewalk. Homeless people defecate in the street. Smash and grabs happen more than 60 times a day. Many go unreported because victims know the laws won't be enforced.
Trump is scared of California.
Yeah.
The future happens here first.
Yeah.
It's America's coming attraction.
A man witnesses say was clearly on drugs, tries to kidnap a little girl right out of her mother's arms. Locals say the mental health and drug problems are a weekly issue.
It doesn't matter, there's a bathroom right there.
Put your pants back on. There's kids all over the place.
Hi, is that your bike? Yeah, put it down. The cops are on their way, so you can either...
We are the most un-Trump state in America. We're also the most diverse state in America.
Yeah.
It's America's coming attraction. Prospering with progressive values, proving, not asserting.
Right.
These principles work at scale. Trump is scared of California.
Yeah.
In L.A., homelessness has jumped 16% in a year. Half of Americans living on the streets are in California.
A homeless camp in the Sepulveda Basin exploding, flames 50 feet high.
It's an extremely hazardous area.
In Mar Vista, gunmen shooting up a homeless camp.
It's just out of control.
I'm beginning not to feel safe.
The combination of people just saying, we can't put up with this anymore. You hear it on the way people talk about it on the local radio. They say, you just can't live like this.
Right.
Plus, recently, President Trump shining a spotlight on it, really embarrassing the officials here.
They're not serious about this issue. They're playing politics with it. Expect nothing but division coming and emanating from the folks at HUD and the Trump administration. And if they want to surprise me, we will celebrate that, and they will be applauded and embraced.
Wow. I'm going to be talking about that on the other side of the bottom of the hour break. Thank you, Daily Caller News Foundation, for that compilation. There's a lot to unpack there. And you might think, well, no, not really. Oh, but there is. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. HagmannReportLive.com. That's where I'd like you to bookmark. HagmannReport.com as well. Both websites, as well as, please do me a favor, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That messes with the algorithms. and allows us to get our message out. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star.
And thanks for holding over. Welcome back to the Hagman Report, HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com, and on YouTube. Please bookmark or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, that messes with the AI algorithm stuff going on, and it gets our message out there. We're more visible when you subscribe. We appreciate that. Even though we have our own separate delivery systems, Twitter and Facebook as well, Hagman Report on both, and Doug Hagman, if you so choose there. That's more personal for me. And, of course, Eric the Tech, at Real Tech Eric on Twitter. You got to follow him. And you know what? Lady the Studio Dog's got her own Twitter. Now, she hasn't posted there in a while. She's having a little trouble with her paws on the keyboard. So anyway, by the way, I taught her, this is so great. I should bring you a video. I taught her, what is it, Eric? Play dead, bang, you know? So, I make a gun finger, or a finger gun, and I say bang, and she lays down and drops on her side. It's so cute. She's just so adorable, but, she's my best furry friend. I'll tell you that. All right. So on the, before the break, you saw that Daily Caller compilation, that video compilation. I want to break that down for you, but before I do, I don't want you to lose sleep over it. Because you can lose sleep over the headline. Man, if you're not losing sleep, read the headlines, you could lose sleep. Get tense. And even your furry friends get tense as well. My good friend, and I mean that, good friend of the program and a friend indeed, Michael Terrell from WholeTones.com. You know, I believe in this product so much, folks. I so believe in this product. I would not be telling you about this in the manner in which I do if I didn't believe in this and use it myself and see the positive effects it has on my wife, on me, on Lady the Studio Dog and Theo. And even more importantly, it tones down the rage of Eric the Tech. You know, seriously, he's the calmest guy I know. But seriously, WholeTones.com, promo code Hagman to get $10 off your order. There's a couple of different items here. The sleep, WholeTones to sleep helps you guaranteed to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up refreshed. And the second part of this, too, is the WholeTones for pets. This is a must-buy pet innovation of the year. That's according to Pet Lifestyles magazine. For 2020. Glam magazine, by the way, listed WholeTones for pets as one of the 15 Lux dog products for your spoiled pooch. And, Michael was on a TV morning show in Chicago. if you didn't see that or the videos of that, just amazing how this calms dogs, cats, especially dogs. Whole Tones for Pets can be ordered and sent directly to your home by visiting wholetones.com. Use promo code Hagman to get $10 off your order. That's for both, for Whole Tones for people and Whole Tones for Pets. That's promo code Hagman to get $10 off of your order. All right. Now, having said all of that, and having looked at the video last hour, that lunatic, the lunatics in that video, that began with the shoplifting, the spree, the theft spree at a drugstore. And that's a direct result of the socialist communist policies. And if you haven't seen that before, it's been floating around for a while. For a while, I mean a few days anyway. If you haven't seen that, or if you haven't shown that to anyone, show that to people. It really serves as a poster for what happens when you allow socialism or communism or these lunatic liberals take over your city, make, recreate laws saying, you know what? Anything under $950 is a misdemeanor. No worries. Here's my message for you on this. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, if you are sane, and I do suspect you are, now there might be one, I think one listener is not, and that's the person who transcribes all of the, I won't go there. Laughing. You're laughing at that. Eric the Tech chuckled at that one. No, I won't get in trouble. Yeah, my message is this. Get a concealed weapons permit. I will tell you something. If I would have been there, that would not have gone down that in that fashion. Now, I don't know what would happen based on my actions, but I'm sure most guys out there, and guys, leave a comment in the YouTube section, comment section, but be nice about it. Even if you disagree, leave a comment. But if you were in that position and you were carrying, would you stop them? I think, Eric the Tech, let me ask you, if you had your friend in your jacket and you walked into, Walgreens or CVS or some place
here, like that, or California?
Here. Would you stop them?
Good question. I don't know.
You know what? It would probably depend on the circumstance. That's kind of a very narrow field, like I suppose. It would depend.
It's not life threatening. Probably not.
Wow. If it's not life threatening to you, or not life threatening, period.
To anyone.
Okay. Folks, leave your comments. What would you do? I'm serious. I'd like to know. Maybe that's asking for trouble trying to stop them.
Someone like that, I would probably physically stop not using a firearm.
And there's detain. An option. There's an option. Yeah. But having a firearm, just not showing it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Some zip ties, you know. Walmart's got zip ties.
There you go. Good idea, too. And I, believe me, when I tell you this, I carry zip ties in my vehicle. I do. And some other things in my vehicle, and I won't get into that, but you know what I mean. So I just think it's, and again, I'm looking for commentary. I think it's, if we don't stop this, if people who are able-bodied don't stop this, does this not lead to more? Does this not breed more, of that kind of activity? And throughout that video, you saw people defecating, urinating in the streets, and you see the results. And these lunatic liberals and socialists and communists, they're proud. Newsom and others, they're proud of this mecca for morons, this mecca for morons that California has become, that San Francisco has become. When let me tell you, you're doing something really wrong when you have to have a map where, you know, there's human waste on the map. Man, yeah.
The poop map.
The poop map. Yeah, I didn't want to say that. This is a classy show. You got to be doing something really, really wrong, in my view. And New York City, their crime is up, by the way. Oh, my goodness, is their crime up. New York City is becoming like one of my favorite movies. And don't judge me. Don't judge me. One of my favorite movies. Death Wish from 74, I think it is. Did you see that movie? Death Wish? Charles Bronson? 73, 74? He's not paying attention. It's all right. It's one of my, seriously, because.
You're asking me?
Yeah. Did you see that movie, Death Wish, with Charles Bronson?
I can't remember.
You'd remember it if you saw it. And the fall off's not so much, but that
1974.
Yeah.
73, 74. So I was -9.
Oh, you youngins. Youngins. You'll be glad if you're my age. Twitter has age hate speech. They've implemented an age hate speech policy. And that's to protect Joe Biden. But I digress. You know that thing. You know the thing. The thing. I know somebody who talks that way. You do too. Give me that thing. Did you see that thing? If he's listening, he's going to call me up later. But no, it's just, this has turned into just a nightmare because San Francisco, now New York, some of the urban areas. And think about this. And this is a nice segue into the virus update. Think about what these places are going to look like if and when there's got to be quarantines, forced quarantines, or some law and order instilled because of the. And I'm not talking. I'm not talking medical martial law. I'm talking about some common sense maneuvers here. But think about what's going to happen in those respect at those times. All right. Speaking about the virus, and this is something I was thinking long and hard about. A couple of things that I wanted to mention that I haven't seen discussed too much is that there appears to be some information that's coming out, and I'm not sure how many people have seen this, that COVID-19 can have neurological effects. Now, if you study the Spanish flu of 1918, you'll note that in 1918, there were different iterations of that virus, which gave some some protection for other strains. Maybe that's the wrong way of saying it. And then there were lesser versions. And again, I'm sorry for the terminology issues here. But it wasn't, it came in waves, but this particular virus seems to have some lasting neurological effects in some cases. Now I'm looking at this. I don't know this to be 100% fact, but there is a sufficient anecdotal evidence to suggest that there are some neurological indications or implications here. Okay, hold that thought. Different aspect to this. When I was looking and reviewing some of the mainstream media news, Fox News, and Peter Barryczka, I love you, brother, but I got to tell you, some of the Fox News anchors and such, apparently, if you are a prepper, you're now a hoarder, because the terms are being used interchangeably by some, by at least one female anchor. I found that very interesting. And again, that was kind of a diversion from the neurological effects that I've seen. But when I took a lap around all of the headlines and everything that's going on, I found this from Dr. Boyle. This is a video from Alex Jones had Dr. Boyle, and he has Dr. Francis Boyle on. And you can check out his credentials on InfoWars. And this is from band.video. His assessment here, this is, I think, from within the last 24 hours. I'm not exactly sure when, but of course this week. But listen to his assessment here with particular, and the reason I picked this is because the particular emphasis here is on the origin of this virus, at least initially. But listen to the entire thing. It's really a minute 55 out of a longer, I think, a 37-minute interview. And this appears at the beginning, kind of like the pre-video segment. So the entire video is like 37 minutes, but this is the first minute, 55 seconds. This kind of summarizes the content of the 37-minute video. It pretty much summarizes it. So watch this and listen to this.
I do think this was an offensive biological warfare weapon that was originally developed there at the University of North Carolina lab using the SARS coronavirus, which was already weaponized to begin with, and endowing it with gain of function properties. I don't believe we can trust this team there in Washington, D.C., this team of feds who are up to their eyeballs in this, to properly advise the American people on how to protect themselves and their families from this. I would suggest that what needs to be done is the American people have to get organized on a state and local basis, even going down to cities and communities and villages and whatever. We have to act at a state and local basis to protect ourselves and not believe anyone who has taken even one penny of this Nazi biological warfare work from the United States government. I think we are facing an American coronavirus pandemic. That's clear. This is going to sweep all over the country. It's not going to be, I guess our government is not going to be able to do the same things that communist China did, but the federal government very well might try. The feds have been lying and covering up and doing damage control and damage limitation from the beginning. And I'm not here bashing President Trump. I don't really know what President Trump knows.
Exactly. We're just reporting what the facts are.
And my thanks to InfoWars and Alex Jones for allowing us to use that. And, of course, that was Dr. Francis Boyle. But, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was looking at this, and of course, there is the update with respect to the origins of this. Now, at the beginning of the program, I was talking about something different. You know, who is responsible for essentially allowing this to happen? Do you have an answer for me? Do you have a name for me? And I said, in addition to the 535 others. Well, that should give you a hint, and that, of course, would be the President of the United States. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. And no, I'm not talking about Obama or even Bush. I'm talking about William Jefferson Clinton. And I'll tell you why. When you look at the outsourcing that we are in which we are engaged, the grave risks and dangers in this process of worldwide outsourcing and the globalization that's taken place over the last 30 years, and toss in this virus, toss in this health emergency that's taking place across China that threatens vital world supply chains. Anything that's made in China, anything that's produced or components of products that are produced in China, that supply chain is threatened. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about smartphones, of course, components, smartphone components that are made in China, auto manufacturer supplies. But think about something else. Think about the pharmaceuticals. But let me back up even at this point. If the forced shutdown of China manufacturing continues for much longer, the world could begin to experience this shortages or lack of vital medications, medical supplies. And here's the reason. And I'll tell you who wrote about this. In New Eastern Outlook, it is a gentleman by the name of F. William Engdahl wrote about this. And he wrote about this last Wednesday. If the forced shutdown of China manufacturing continues for much longer, you're going to see the world, and especially the United States, suffer shortages of pharmaceuticals. Over the past two decades, much of the production of medicines and medical supplies, such as surgical masks, have been outsourced to China or simply made in China by Chinese companies at far cheaper prices. And that's what's that done? It's forced Western companies out of business. When you look at the congressional hearings, when you research, when you do research, according to research in U.S. congressional hearings, 80%, roughly 80% of present medications consumed in this country, in the United States, are produced in China. And this includes Chinese companies and foreign drug companies that have outsourced their drug manufacture in joint ventures with Chinese partners. Hastings Center Bioethics Research Institute, Rosemary Gibson. She wrote a book in 2018 on this particular theme and outlined what's going on. The dependency is more than alarming. Now, Gibson cites medical newsletters giving the estimate today that some 80% of all pharmaceutical active ingredients in the USA are made in China. But it's not just the ingredients. It's also the chemical precursors, the chemical building blocks used to make the active ingredients. We are dependent on China for the chemical building blocks to make a whole category of antibiotics. They're used in the United States thousands of times every day. If you have a serious infection, yeah. So I started looking at this and I started wondering, well, why? Yeah. The made in China drugs include most antibiotics, birth control pills. Oh boy. Blood pressure medications, blood thinners. A lot of cancer drugs. Penicillin. I mentioned antibiotics. Penicillin. Ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C. Not Health Masters, by the way, but this. Aspirin. Did you know that? The list of medications also includes HIV. Medications to mitigate Alzheimer's, the effects of Alzheimer's. Bipolar disorders, schizophrenia. Oh, this is going to be a party, right? Cancer, depression, epilepsy. 97% of all antibiotics in the United States came from China. 97%. You're not going to see a pill bottle with Made in China stamped on it. So how did this happen? You know, at the time the outsourcing of U.S. and European drug manufacture to China began, few people could really envision a situation where we would have a health catastrophe like we have right now or seemingly have that's growing out of Wuhan. The massive China quarantine since last January or this past January has shut down some 75 to 80% of all Chinese factories. It's created unprecedented domestic China demand for every kind of medical product since the World Health Organization declared, or the declaration by the by WHO, of a medical emergency for COVID-19. And again, I looked at this and said, where did this start? How did this start? How did we get in this position? There's the guy right there. Remember the words most favored nation? Well, you can thank William Jefferson, Clinton, and the 535 members of Congress for that, because the emergence of China as the global giant in terms of pharmaceutical drugs and products is embedded in the Made in China -2025 national plan as one of the 10 priority areas for China to gain world leadership. This was not a random or chance or accidental development. This was planned. And what this happened, this in turn, as the present COVID-19 crisis makes it abundantly evident, it's a huge vulnerability for the rest of the world. So again, how did all this happen? You got to go back to the Clinton presidency in what was then dubbed globalization, the Davos model of outsourcing any and everything from advanced industrial countries like the USA or Germany and to especially China after 2000, after the year 2000. And remember, too, Dr. Richard Proctor had talked about this as well, the outsourcing and such, the constitutional aspects a little bit. He touched on that. We're going to be getting into that, too, as he comes back and visits some more. In May of 2000, in May of the year 2000, in one of the most far-reaching actions of his presidency, that man right there, Bill Clinton, with the strong backing of U.S. multinational companies, succeeded over the very strenuous objections and warnings of many trade unions to get congressional passage of a permanent most favored nation trade status for China. For the U.S. support of China entry into the World Trade Organization. Dianne Feinstein, if we have that panel, I'm not sure if we have that. I'm not sure if I sent that to you. Very vocal in support of the most favorite. There it is right there. Folks, take a look at that. This is Dianne Feinstein. We should grant, about China, we should grant most favored nation status to China on a permanent basis and get past the annual dance that's proving to be extraordinarily divisive and not at all helpful toward reaching the oft-stated goal, improvement in human rights. When did this become a human rights issue? And I should say, go back to Nixon, just so I'm show you I'm not playing party favorites, go back to Nixon, opening the doors to China. But there's Feinstein's comments. And you can go back on the video and take a look at it and read it. But in 2008, just to fast forward this, the Chinese government designated pharmaceutical production as a high value added industry and bolstered this industry through subsidies and export tax rebates to encourage pharmaceutical companies to export their products. And by 2019, by last year, China had become by far the world's largest source for active pharmaceutical ingredients. This Achilles heel, the Achilles heel of this globalization and sole dependency for vital medications. It should be clear to everyone right now. As the future of China, as a reliable supplier of needed drugs and other medical supplies has suddenly become a matter of grave concern to the entire world. And it is. Can we fix it? Like, today? That's one thing Donald Trump is doing. I will say that. And that has a lot to do, I should say, with what Donald Trump did with the new trade agreement with China. He strengthened our position in this respect. I like that. All right, folks. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. I want to thank you for this hour. Stay with me after the break. Austin Brower.
Reporting on what the
mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back to Hagman. This is hour two on this Friday edition. It's the sixth day of March. March 6th. I know day, date, place, time. I'm oriented. Oriented times three, as they say. But nonetheless, it is March 6th, Friday. And the first hour did a wrap of the lunatic left, what's taking place, as well as an update about the COVID-19 and really the origins in the global outsourcing and how we have come to rely on China for medications. My goodness, 80%. Astounding figures. And of course, some other lunatic or lunacy, I suppose, issues. I want to mention, I didn't mention this earlier, at that pro-abortion or pro-murder event, I don't know how many people saw this as well. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer from New York. Did you hear what he did? He threatened Supreme Court Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And, you know, the threats were serious. If you haven't caught it, I would just look it up on the different whatever news sites. But President Trump came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and said, look, there needs to be some action against Schumer. And if a Republican did this, he or she would be arrested or impeached. Serious action must be taken now. So I applaud him for that. One more thing before we get to Austin. A piece of good news, I suppose. The money that's being spent by Soros and even Clinton, but specifically Soros in this case, it's being funneled into local elections. A Soros-backed district attorney candidate lost big time this week in Los Angeles County, the Super Tuesday election. George Gascon, with the backing of Soros money, tanked against Jackie Lacey. Jackie Lacey was elected the first African-American DA of Los Angeles County, which is the largest prosecutor's office in the country. So having said that, even George Soros' money can't buy this, you know, get out of jail free, this lawlessness that we're seeing in New York. So that's kind of a win in that respect. So, very interesting indeed. Also, very quickly, keep your eyes on this. Senate Bill 2657, the American Energy Innovation Act. The Senate is pushing a bipartisan green energy social engineering bill that we have to keep our eyes on. There's Daniel Horowitz wrote about this, and he writes this, and I'm going to turn it over to get with Austin. But he writes that while there's no bipartisan clamor to use GOP Senate control to force votes on sanctuary cities, there's this rush to pass bipartisan bill dumping more money into green energy programs. And think of that, bipartisan support for this. Some might have thought that we were done with the green energy venture socialism after the Obama-era Solyndra. Remember that? But in Washington, both parties are just addicted to corporate welfare, hence the rush to pass Senate Bill 2657. the American Energy Innovation Act. And if that passes, I'm going to tell you something. And I don't think, I don't know. I can't predict, but I'll tell you, it will have a lot of devastating effects in a number of areas, including our economy. We talked about the coronavirus, COVID-19. We talked about ascorbic acid coming from China. If you want American ascorbic acid, vitamin C, maybe I'm not pronouncing that the way it should be, go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com for excellent C. There it is on your screen, healthmasters.com. Folks, this is the place where I get all of my nutritional supplements. I feel better. I look better. No, I feel better. And even when I get blood tests done, as a matter of routine, my numbers are well within the normal range, whereas before they weren't. Now, I can't make medical claims. I'm not. I'm just telling you how it is. Healthmasters.com. If you do nothing else, get your daily ultimate multiple vitamin from healthmasters.com and use HR5 as a promo code. Healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Use HR5 as the promo code, discount code. With me is Austin Brower from Health Masters. And I want to thank Austin for taking your time on this Friday evening to come and pay us a visit. How you doing?
Hey, bud, it's a blessing to be on the show as always. And yeah, and just to clarify, you know, the vitamin C that we use as well, not only is it US-based, it's also non-GMO certified as well. One thing that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of ascorbic acid, especially on the cheap market when it's very, very cheap product, it's derived from GMO corn. That's where they get a lot of it from. And yes, a lot of it comes in from China as well for a lot of these very some of these companies that just sell the product for a very, very, very low price. And you have to really question the quality of what you're getting. The formula we actually have in stock right now, we have multiple antioxidants is coupled with it, including quercetin and so forth. We brought that on from another manufacturer here locally, because we wanted to be able to have a secondary option of vitamin C and something that really, really supports the immune system. Because I'll tell you right now, the supply and the raw ingredients are drying up left and right. I mean, I've been on the phone all week, Doug, and I'm not saying this to basically scare anybody. I'm telling everybody this because this is what's about to start happening. Whether or not, whether it's just vitamin C or D3 or anything, the supply lines on stuff are about to come to a screeching halt. And I would say probably about 4 to 6 weeks because, you know, majority of the container ships, majority of stuff that comes out of China is usually on like a 60 to 90 day lead time at the longest. Sometimes it's shorter. Sometimes it's a little faster, but that's usually for the most part. Well, China's pretty much all but been shut down now for a little over a month. And so what's going to start happening is a lot of these supply chains in the next 4 to 6 weeks are going to start running out when container ships don't land in California and other ports. They're not going to have the product, whether it's little wiring harnesses, whether it's a button, whether it's a bolt, whether it's a bracket, you name it. Stuff's going to not be showing up anymore. And we import so much stuff from China, not just because we get everything from them. A lot of people don't realize this. Certain products, certain ingredients, certain things, we will manufacture in the United States. We'll ship it to China to get processed and then ship it back here because it's still cheaper to pay for the freight, to pay China, and to pay to the return freight to get it back here to process it over there than it is to actually process it here in the United States. And there's numerous, numerous, numerous products that are like that. So a lot of people think, oh, well, it's not made in China. No, it's really not made in China. It's made in the U.S., but it's shipped to China, subbed to China, sent back to the United States, and then basically assembled or processed or whatever other thing they have here at the final manufacturing site. So just something to be aware of that. And, I mean, people left and right now all over the place, I mean, here locally, are buying stuff up. And I commend a lot of people for actually getting prepared. You know, down here in Florida, we tend to be moderately resilient because we're so used to having hurricanes and power outages and so many storms on a regular basis that we generally get prepped pretty often. And most of us have, you know, a decent supply of water, decent supply of food, decent supply of supplements, you know, bandages, first aid, antiseptics, alcohol, peroxide, all that stuff. because of what we deal with so much down here with storms. But ironically enough, you know, my wife Lana went to Sam's earlier this week because I told her I wanted to go and stock up on paper and tape for the office because we're getting so many people that are ordering stuff all over the country right now, getting prepared, making sure they have a couple bottles of vitamin C for the next few months, D3, so forth, that I wanted to make sure we have adequate shipping supplies, you know, whether it be tape, paper, so forth. So when she was there, I said, you know, while you're there, go ahead and stock up, you know, on some more toilet paper, some more paper towels, so forth. You know, even though I always try to keep that stuff months out in advance. You know, a lot of people don't really think about that, but, you know, it never hurts to have an extra big bag of toilet paper or big bag of paper towels just in your back closet for an emergency or if you just don't get the time to go out, you always have them. So I told her while she was out, I said, go ahead and just stock up on a bunch of that stuff. I said, you got the truck, load it up, just grab whatever you need. And she got there and she started sending me photos and she went, oh my gosh, Austin, this is little Lakeland Sam's. She started sending me photos. Everything was empty. There were like four or five big bundles of paper towels left. She bought all of them. Most of the water was gone, which we have plenty of that at the house. Plus, I always like process my own distilled water and packaging it here. A lot of the food was gone. The line was like halfway to the back of the store. People were wearing masks. This is in Central Florida, the beginning of the week already. People are already starting to see what's going on and realize this thing isn't a joke anymore. Now, one thing about it, though, is that the media is blatantly hyping this up, in my opinion, to start a hysteria frenzy to create as much panic so that when the vaccine manufacturers get this thing ready to roll out, so many people are going to be so apt to take the vaccine. The article already came out on Tuesday, said Inovia has now sped up the development of the coronavirus vaccine and plans human trials in the U.S. the beginning of April. Now, I'm not saying that all vaccines are bad, but what I'm saying is they've already came out and said that this is an RNA-based vaccine. What it essentially does is it changes your DNA. It designs your body to basically rewrite its DNA structure to fight this stuff. RNA vaccines have never been approved for human use in the United States, ever. They've tried to test them, they've researched them, but they've never been approved for full-blown human usage across the nation. And now we see these vaccines being rolled out with very little time to actually do long-term testing. I mean, what are we going to have, you know, a three-month clinical trial to test this out before people start getting jabbed with it? And so what I think is starting to go on here now is, as I've kind of, you know, speculated over the last few weeks, but they hype this up, they downplay it, they hype it up, they downplay it. I think they're really starting to get the gist of what they're starting to work on because now we're starting to see all the social media platforms, pretty much Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all these guys now that are coming out and saying, hey, this is fake news. You know, it doesn't matter that research has already come out of China that's showing that vitamin C is blatantly knocking out the coronavirus. I put the article up on our website, numerous research studies now that have already come out of recent ones and past ones that have talked about vitamin C and intravenous vitamin C knocking out viruses. Media says fake news. People want to go and buy basically supplies and buy cleaning equipment. Media says, oh, this is fake news. You shouldn't be doing this. But then they turn around in the same broadcast and hype it up and do the fear mongering and put the little panel up on the side and the death count. Everybody's getting it, this and that. But then people go out and get prepped and they're sitting there demonizing people for getting prepped and getting ready. And it just shows you how it kind of is the same thing we've seen with these hardcore leftist Democrats in office to where they contradict themselves with their own words, where somebody will do something and they'll completely and totally ridicule them, bully them, put them down, blast them on social media. And then when they do the same thing or they do something similar to, they sit there and justify how they did it. It's kind of like what you said with these guys, what they're saying and the threats that they're making towards certain Republicans and what we've seen over the last year, with even the last 3 years, Doug, all the way from the Russian investigation hoax and everything through this impeachment, all this crap that's going on, and the Republicans just sit back and just kind of go, ho dumb, we'll see what happens. Let them just do it again, and nothing gets brought up. There's no counter charges. There's no counter investigation. Like you said, there's no impeachment towards these individuals or trying to remove them from congressional seats for their behavior or what they're doing and what they're saying. I mean, just the simple act of what Pelosi did, basically tearing up privileged presidential information on live television. There were multiple charges that could have been levied upon her for doing that and destroying documentation like that, especially the State of the Union address. Yet nobody talks about it. Nobody does anything about it. And it just, it bothers me, but it shows you the level of just which the media and everybody twist the narrative to do exactly what they want. And most of the American population just kind of sits back and goes, okay, well, the media hasn't brought it up anymore, so we're not going to bring it up anymore. It's quite frustrating.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you said a lot there. I'll tell you, I've got a couple of questions for you on this. You had started off by talking about one company, Inovio, making a vaccine or creating a vaccine. Without respect to the company or whatever companies, do you believe that this, how can I put this? First of all, do you believe that this could be when COVID-19, the SARS HIV delivery systems built in, based on everything you've said, or have we established, that this was a made to order weapon, bioweapon, if you will?
My personal opinion, yes. From the research I've done and the research that I've done with Ted, and I've really kind of started to fall back on him at first in the beginning because, you know, he's got a background in biology and everything else. So, you know, I kind of looked at some of the stuff he was looking at, and then I started reading my own research. And the way this thing's playing out, the way they're saying it's either mutated or there's now at least two strands of it, whether or not two different strands were released, or it's mutating and constantly mutating further and further. And now we're getting these reports of people getting the virus, getting better, testing negative, then getting it again. The problem with that is it doesn't appear to be that they're actually contracting it again. It appears to be that this is almost a multi-staged virus where it actually, you're getting the virus, you're being symptomatic, you're getting better, the virus is going dormant, the virus mutates internally, and then the virus basically expands again and you test positive again for it. Now, I don't know if that's what's going on, but that appears to be, from what the research I'm doing, it's starting to show, which if that's the case, by all means, yes, this is some type of weird bioweapon concocted up in a lab. The things that we've seen from the HIV properties that the researchers came out with and then they were immediately shut down. I mean, Zero Hedge, just for bringing up the article on Twitter, was banned for multiple days. That aspect of it, everything we're starting to see, how there's certain people that are getting it, and it appears to be, again, and this is why we've talked about it so much, it appears to be the level of response that your immune system can handle. I think for a lot of these people, if they're moderate age, you know, I'm not even saying young, but, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, they're in pretty good shape. They exercise. They eat fairly clean. They're not eating a bunch of contaminated GMO foods, a bunch of high fructose corn syrup, a bunch of heavily sugar-laden foods and sodas and so forth. They're taking a good supplement base, and their D3 levels are very high. That's one level of this aspect of research that I would really love to see done, which nobody has really even talked about, is individuals who have contracted it and individuals who have recovered from it. What are their D3 serum levels? This is a big question that Ted and I have been asking for weeks, because that would really give us an answer to say, hey, if the D3 levels are where they're supposed to be, because we know, we've talked about this for years now, is that there is a D3 deficiency in the United States. A lot of it because people don't go outside as much as they used to. People are based on computers more. The skies are constantly opaque with chemtrails. The pollution in some areas, the sky coverage, the cloud coverage, all these different things that play a factor in your body producing vitamin D3. It's an issue that really is global as far as D3 deficiency. So I would really love to see the extent of how many people have come down with this, have been in intensive care, how many people have recovered, and what their D3 is. The problem is the doctors aren't testing D3. I mean, it's difficult to even get your primary care physician to test you for D3 when you go in for a local checkup. I've gotten people that have said that to me. They've sent emails for me. They're like, my doctor doesn't want to check me for D3. I'm going in for a yearly checkup. They want to test my cholesterol. They want to test all these other things that they can try to make sure they can make money off me on. But I ask them to test D3, and they're like, oh, no, your D3 is probably fine. You live in Florida. Well, I'm asking you, as my primary care physician, I want my D3 tested. Oh, no, you're fine. You probably don't need it tested. I'm telling you, you're going to test it now. I'm not asking you anymore. I'm paying you. I want it tested. Oh, calm down. Fine. Oh, I'll get it tested. Blah, blah, blah. Which in reality, that's one of the most important things. And I've said this so many times before. Lana and I have always used a midwife to have our children. The midwife, one of the primary things they were adamant about during blood work, monthly blood work throughout the entire pregnancy, D3 was like at the very top of the list every single time she got blood work. And her blood work wasn't as high as it needed to be for the D3 because the babies just suck it out of them. Yep. So we were at the point, she was on 10,000 IUs and we bumped up to 20,000 IUs in the D3 K2. And that got her blood levels where the midwife was happy. But so this is just what I'm encouraging everybody. Yes, I think this thing is essentially, it's a made to order weapon. However, I think with the human immune system and the natural response that our bodies can have naturally and healthy, I think there's easily you can fight this off, but I think this is definitely targeting more people that are older or compromised immune systems or people that have a very, very poor lifestyle choice as far as what they eat, drink, and what they put into their body. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned about the vaccines and trials of vaccines. Do you believe or is it possible, even though companies are mentioning, you know, the corporate companies, they're mentioning, well, we might have a vaccine ready for you, you know, for trials here very soon. And then rush a vaccine through. Is it possible that there's already a vaccine and this was whatever we're seeing, COVID-19, the different strains, L and S strain, L being, I think, more severe than the S strain coming first, the L strain coming second. Could there have been like vaccines made, already made, ready for rollout for this? Maybe that's the wrong question, or maybe that's an improper way to ask that question, but, vaccines to me seem to play a role here pretty heavily in my opinion.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, one thing just to consider here is that, I mean, as the stock market continues to crash almost every single day, I mean, it was down like 800 points this morning, then it rebounded a little bit, then it was back down. It was playing pinball. The biotech companies have been thriving. That's one area of the stock market that they've been going up. Their share values are going through the roof. They're going to get multi-million dollar contracts for these vaccines. They're going to probably make billions of dollars this year in revenue with vaccine dispersal all over the globe. And before, in my opinion, from what I've been always told from individuals who have worked in biolabs and bioweapons, is they usually, in most cases, try to have some type of basis of a vaccine that they know is at least effective before they start going in and really tweaking and tampering and making some of these concocted batches. So, I mean, put it this way, it makes no sense to brew up some weird vaccine or some weird virus up in a lab if you don't have something to basically put against it, if somebody contracts it or if it happens to get out. It doesn't make sense to do so. So is it possible? Yeah, it's highly probable that there's probably already a vaccine in play. The question to me is, what are these vaccines actually going to do to the body? Are they actually going to be something that knock out the virus? They very well may be. They may be something that causes the body to be completely immune to the coronavirus forever and amen after you get injected with it. However, it could also do something to completely write your DNA, which is what the RNA technology is designed to do, to come in and basically make you more susceptible to certain things, basically allow your body to be more susceptible to cancer or be susceptible to certain frequencies. You can literally go down the list of 100 different possibilities with this. And I'm not trying to sit here and be, you know, a skeptical conspiracy theorist, as a lot of people like to describe that as. But what I'm saying is, you always got to question the narrative and you got to question why. And so when you see something like this literally get released and patient zero is miles down the road from a level 4 containment facility that was blatantly working on the coronavirus, they admitted this when it happened. A lot of people they're not talking about this anymore. That level 4 containment facility was being worked on a coronavirus and Ebola and SARS and all these different bioweapons in this containment facility, and the individual happens to come down with it just miles away from this, and then it explodes in China like an atomic bomb. It goes all over the place. People are contracting it left and right. And what a lot of people haven't bothered to talk about, and we don't know much is going on in China because China is so limited on what they actually release. But in June 29th, 2019, the National People's Congress Committee of China adopted a new law that provided for the strictest vaccine management. And they went in to say, according to law, China was to implement a state immunization program. This is June 29th last year, well before this virus was ever released. It was to implement a state immunization program, and residents living within the territory of China were legally obligated to be vaccinated with immunization program vaccines, which were provided by the government free of charge. The law would take effect on December 1st, 2019. So then the next question to me is this, and this is just something I've thrown out there. I haven't been able to get much research on it because, again, China's very difficult to get anything out of. But isn't it ironic that China is working on a coronavirus at this level four containment facility since 2018? June of last year, they mandate that everybody has to be mandatorily vaccinated in the country of China. December 1st, this law goes into effect, which we saw very little feedback or very little news on whether or not they actually started vaccinations on people. Then ironically enough, you see the first case at the end of December come forth, and then it basically starts to explode all over the case the middle of January, all at the same time. This is very coincidental, Doug, that this happened like this, especially the rate of timing and the rate of transmission and the fact that Wuhan and the multiple cities around it that had been epicenters for this were major smart cities. There were major 5G smart cities that were completely and totally built and designed to be smart city 5G centers. There's 5G towers everywhere in those areas. So I don't know if that ties in with the virus. I know there's been speculation, and I've seen people talk about it online. Now, whether or not it's real or accurate, I don't know. I know that 5G systems is no doubt a warfare system. We've seen that with the U.S. military using it for last decade. So the frequency that they use with this and the areas they used it in, at the same time everybody contracted it, at the same time the Chinese government mandated people start getting vaccines December 1st, 2019. Remember the measles, the MMR vaccine. You shed live measles virus after you get that vaccine. Yep. They've concluded in numerous cases that that is one of the reasons why a lot of times people start contracting the measles around other people that get the MMR vaccine, because that person is shedding the live measles vaccine. Now, whether or not they did this in some type of corona vaccine with a live coronavirus, I don't know. I can only speculate, but I'm just trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together for the last couple weeks to kind of figure out what is really going on with this. And now we see these guys coming to market with these vaccines. They're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. The more than likely, we're about to start seeing very, very strict measures all across the country. There's been numerous articles that I've talked about that have gone into detail demanding, these, a lot of these were opinion articles, but demanding that DHS and the CDC start requiring people to show vaccine papers once this coronavirus vaccine is out. And they essentially said, we really need to have it set up. And I wish I had the article in front of me. It was about a week and a half ago. But basically, in synopsis, what it said is, if the vaccine is effective, we need to start, the only way we need to allow people to travel again, if we start traveling international and around the country, is people need to have their vaccine papers. And if they want to get on a plane or they want to get on a bus, they need to prove that they have their vaccine papers with them and they can show that they've been fully vaccinated now. To me, not only is that unbelievably aggressively totalitarian, that's downright scary when it comes to the fact that you're telling us now that you're going to completely stop us from traveling freely, unmolested on our way, even after something's been contained, only to be able to travel if we've gotten the vaccine that you've told us we have to be vaccinated with. That's medical martial law, and that's exactly what they did up in New York last year when they mandated that anybody under the age of 18 could not go into a public place unless they had their MMR vaccine. And then they mandated in New York that certain zip codes had to be vaccinated with the MMR vaccine or they were going to be fined. And if they didn't pay the fine, they were going to be jailed eventually. This was a demo test. It was a beta test last year in New York, in my opinion, to see how the populace was going to handle a forced vaccination rollout. And remember, think about this. If this virus gets bad enough, if the populace gets sick enough, especially if you start dealing with a lot of the individuals that are already sick and they start dying left and right with a lot of the sick populace in the United States, a large percentage of the people in the U.S. that even may be awake, they're going to start begging for a vaccine. They're going to demand a vaccine because they're going to be sick of seeing people dying. Now, whether or not it's going to escalate to that, I pray that it doesn't. But to me, it seems like there's something a lot more behind this whole situation that's going on besides this just, oh, whoops, somebody got the coronavirus by eating a bat in China and now it's spread globally. You can look at the map in Europe. Almost every single country in Europe has at least one to two cases of coronavirus, some of which, like Italy and, you know, France, they're exploding. I mean, Iran's got like, what, 4,000 or 5,000 cases now, dozens and dozens and dozens of death. I mean, that's going on in those areas. So is the U.S. going to follow that same route? I don't know. But is my opinion, if everybody keeps their sanitation habits where they need to be and everybody keeps their immune systems really strong and keeps their D3 levels really elevated and blood levels of vitamin C, I think a large percent of the population will pull through this. It just depends how much flack we're getting on the backside if we're all staying healthy and everybody else basically is getting sick and they want everybody else to be vaccinated. That's going to be the million-dollar question.
Very interesting way, very interesting the angles that you described. And I think that we have to look at all potential factors. When this is new, obviously, and I find the timing very curious with respect to the 5G rollout, as you mentioned, the vaccination agenda, and even the timing of the China trade agreement, the new trade agreement, including tariffs and such. So I think that to just focus primarily on one thing or another is rather myopic. I think we have to look at the entire picture, and asking questions is not a, believe me, asking questions is not a crime. I think we should be asking the questions. And I'm amazed at, I got an email the other day, or it was yesterday, from someone who said that their family member worked as an engineer with the 5G network, and that spreading this conspiracy theory was a contemptible lie on my part, on our part, for even discussing it. Well, I don't think so. Folks, my guest is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. You catch the show, the program, Global Star Radio Network, Satellite Radio Network. If you go to healthmasters.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see that you can click right there, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m., Sundays, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen to Ted and Austin Brower, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, live. And, there it is. Go click on that and make sure you bookmark that and listen to them Monday through Friday and on Sunday as well, because the information is – I get a lot out of it. I'll tell you what, I don't know how you pack so much information in an hour. You guys talk fast, obviously, but it's so rich in information. And by the way, while you're there, healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code, but please do me a favor. Get your immune system, get a healthy immune system. Order the immune kit there. And if you can't do that, or if maybe they might be out of a product or two, which can happen, make sure you get the ultimate multiple vitamin, as well as vitamin C and B. Those are my favorites. I can tell you that. I feel a lot different with vitamin B. And that D3 and K2 combination, absolutely vital. Especially, and you mentioned this too, especially in pregnant women. My daughter-in-law was pregnant and had low D3 levels as well. So it's important to monitor that. The healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code. I don't know whether you saw this. Cuomo today, New York, announced 11 new cases of the coronavirus, bringing the total in the state up to 33. And all new cases are connected to that, I believe it's a lawyer out of New Rochelle, which obviously you're looking at patient or person-to-person transmission in this case. This bothers me a little bit. I don't know if you saw that, but 11 new cases in the state of New York, all related to that one person in New Rochelle.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. This stuff's very contagious. And going back to what you said so succinctly a second ago, Doug, everybody has a right to question everything or support anything they want. This is a concept that eludes a lot of individuals right now that's very frustrating to me, because at the same time, these people say, well, you need to be able to live free and nobody should be able to do this or do that. And at the same time, you question something and you say, no, I'm not really sure I believe the narrative with this. I think there's something else happening with this behind the scenes. Oh, this is fake news. You need to be shut down. Nobody should be able to talk like that. You can't speak that way. And you're like, which one is it, bud? Because I'm the same way. Whether or not you agree with me or not, that's okay. I'm okay with that. You don't have to agree with me. I don't have to agree with you. It's called America. It's a free country. You can agree with me on 50% of the stuff I say and vice versa. And that's okay. We can still be cordial. But to sit there and say to opposition that questions you or simply says, I'm not sure about that. I want to look into it more. What do you think about this? Or what do you think about X? What? Why is this? And then your only response is, oh, this is fake news. You're spreading rumors. You're a conspiracy theory, tin hat wearing idiot. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That's kind of one of the most ironic rebuttals to give somebody, is that when somebody asks you a legitimate question, you don't come back with facts, or you don't say, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about it that way. I may look into that anymore. You simply get mad, yell, scream, jump on the floor, jump up and down, hit their phone, whatever you've seen them do before. And so that's why I just encourage people, ask questions. That's why it was so ironic in Australia 2 years ago, when one of the vaccine, question companies, basically not anti-vaccine, they were basically the vaccine truth company. They wanted to know what was in vaccines. And they put up a billboard in Australia. I've mentioned this so many times on the show, I mentioned it again. And the billboard said, and I quote, "Do you know what's in your vaccine? Question mark." That was it. Do you know what's in your vaccine? Question mark. And within 3 days, the prime minister was so mad, and he had so many pro-vaccine manufacturers irate, he actually came on and did basically a short news segment and said that it was full rubbish, that it was idiotic, that nobody should put up that type of rubbish in Australia. And they actually forcibly removed that billboard in Australia, had it taken down by force, criminally. And that right there in and of itself should raise so many more questions, because here's the thing. If you agree with it and you're 100% pro-vaccine, that's fine. When I ask you a question, do you know what's in your vaccine? You should be able to spout off pretty much a pretty moderate list of ingredients that you know to be in that vaccine if you're well-educated and you're pro-vaccine. That's just simply being informed about what you're pro for. But it's ironic that's not the case. And so, again, before I digress and all that, that's just something that I want to encourage people. We all have a right to ask a question. We all have a right to our own opinion. Just because you agree with it or not, that's fine. But be sure that you're not just blindly following somebody else's parroted opinion because that's what they're telling you to follow, or saying this is the way it is because that's what they told me on CNN and that's the only thing that could be correct. Guys, we know for a fact that we've been lied to numerous times and they've gotten busted. I mean, ABC News on 2 separate occasions put out complete and total fake video, fake news on 2 sessions on a Sunday and Monday segment on ABC of a Turkish invasion of Syria, when it was found a few days later that the video was a machine gun shootout from Knob Creek, Kentucky in 2017. They got busted, flat out busted. And they said, that was our mistake. We'll take it down real quick. And it just completely depleted. Nobody talked about it in the media. Nobody, it just disappeared like nothing happened. Well, my whole thing was this. That wasn't an accident. You didn't accidentally find 4-year-old or 3-year-old footage from Knob Creek, Kentucky of a machine gun shootout and then accidentally put it as live footage from Turkey invading Syria and then accidentally report that this is going on live right now. It's not an accident. You, if that's an accident, you are one of the biggest blithering idiots in media television, and you should, quite frankly, have your press card revoked. You need to be shut down. It's not an accident. You report and say, hey, there were 500 casualties in this invasion. You come back and say, listen, that was false, that we got the numbers wrong. There are only 50. Our fault, our bad. That's a mistake. That's a retraction. That's fine. You don't blatantly put up false video over and over again. And then when you get busted, you go, oh, oops, sorry, that was our mistake. Suck it up. So again, we know that these guys lie to us. We know that they have an agenda. Now, I'm not saying all mainstream media everywhere is fake all the time. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, when you know, and you know that over 70% of the ad revenue of these companies comes from the pharmaceutical companies, and you know that they're controlled almost by one giant conglomerate that owns almost all the radio stations and all the news stations, you got to kind of question, is this something that's actually being told to enlighten the American populace and give us truth? Or is this simply something that they're telling us because they want to calm us down and they want us to believe their narrative? Everybody has the right to their own opinion, and everybody has the right to question anything, Doug.
That's right. And they've got the right to their own opinion, not their own set of facts. And I agree with you 100%. And about the media, about how they presented that invasion and used that the shooting video from Nob Hill. I talked the first hour about MSNBC. There was an interview done by Brian Williams yesterday talking about Bloomberg and Bloomberg spending $500 million on ads. And then the guest of Brian Williams went on to say that the U.S. population, and listen to this, listen carefully, because obviously there's a glaring mistake here. The U.S. population is 327 million. Bloomberg could have given each American $1 million and still have money left over. Okay, now think about that for a second. A little math problem, Common Core math problem. And, you know, I was saying the first hour, that has to pass through information like that's going to pass through a number of editorial levels. So, I mean, either totally ignorant and, yeah, press pass revoked, or it was intentional, you know, just slip it by and have no one question that. And Brian Williams is like, yeah, it's right. You know, I already did the math. And yeah, it's just incredible. And how they're able to get away with this. And we, as alternative media or new media, you and your dad and me, how we get slammed and we have to fight for our survival every day. It's just amazing. It's upside down and backwards. And then, you know, the other thing too, and I'm going to say this and shut up. We also get it from, members of our own community, for crying out loud. Christians who are people who say, I present the Christian point of view, and you know, I'm tired of Hagman and, all these other platforms, Epic Times and Quayle, Hagman, Zero Hedge, peddling fake news and profiting from the fake news. It's like, what's going on with it? What's the matter with people? I mean, what's wrong with people today? I'm just curious. I don't know.
That's a question that I think the answer eludes both you and I, Doug. I don't know what's wrong with a lot of these people. And, you know, NBC and those guys over there, they missed a couple zeros on that, because that would be about $1.50. per every man, woman, and child in the United States. $1.50 is what we'd have gotten out of $500 million from Bloomberg, somewhere right around there.
Yeah.
That's not a hard math problem either. I'm not really sure what those guys were going for. It was kind of like when Biden the other day, he was doing one of his rallies and he goes, "We have to stop the gun violence. There's been 150 million people killed with guns last year." And I'm like, 150 million people? That's half the population of the country, half the population. No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate at all. And nobody said anything about it, except like Trump made a comment about it. Mainstream media didn't even, you know, like every time Trump says something, like he'll be like, yeah, you know, we're up 7.2%. And all of a sudden they come back and say, no, we're fact checking that. It was not 7.2%. It was 7.19%. This is fake news. Fake news, and they completely obliterate them. But nobody said anything about it when Biden said that. And I'm like, 150 million people were killed in gun violence last year, or however many years. I don't even know where they come up with these numbers. And then again, nobody said anything about it. It was like, whoop, under the rug. We're not even going to bring it up again. But see, and here's the problem with this, Doug. Here's the real seriousness of this. When these individuals in authority are talking to a lot of these individuals at their rallies, especially these people that are following these hardcore leftists, they already have some, you know, some mental struggles they're working on. I'm not going to call them stupid, but I'm saying they have challenges they're working on. When they hear these people of authority that they put on these godlike statues of power, and they say, hey, this is Biden, this is Bernie, any of these individuals, and these people like Biden make dumb, asinine comments like this, they believe it. They don't bother to even think about the math, even though you don't even have to think about that math. Like that's kind of just like common sense when you make a number like that. They're like, no, that's not accurate. But they don't even care. They're like, oh, Biden said it. It's gospel. We got to stop 150 million more people from dying from guns. And I'm like, so what, by next year, populace in the United States is going to be like, you know, 20 million because we're all killing each other with guns every single day. I mean, wait, how do these numbers fan out? But these people buy into it, and they get madder and madder and madder at the right. And then if you say anything about it, it's like what you said. Oh, that's fake news. You can't say that. They're peddling fake news to profit stuff. I'm not trying to profit off anything right now. All I'm trying to encourage is the patriot community to make sure they have their immune system strong and make sure everybody's prepared and make sure you got some toilet paper and some food and some ammo and some water. Because quite frankly, if this thing goes sideways in the United States, you best believe that, I mean, there's going to be some repercussions for this. We're going to have some issues here. And the people that are prepped and the people that are ready are going to be the ones that can come out on the backside and do the best they can to really make sure we speak the truth about what's going on, because this stuff is going to have to be told. This story is going to have to be repeated. If we allow the mainstream media and the government to continue write history, which is what they're doing right now, Doug, a lot of people kind of don't understand that. When the media is coming in right now and they're saying, oh, this is fake news, or this is, you know, propaganda from the right, it's all fake news. They're rewriting history.
Yes.
This stuff is going in 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Our kids, our grandkids are going to read back on this if we don't correct this. And they're going to say, man, you know what? You remember the story in 2016, you know, 50 years ago, when the Russians actually got involved with the presidential election and got Donald Trump, who is a fascist, elected as the president of the United States. This was horrific. We can never allow these things to happen again. Just like in the Hunger Games, they come in and say, when our founders rewrote this 75 years ago after the revolution, after the insurrection, we decided we'd never allow this to happen. So you guys have to give 12 of your kids up every year to sacrifice them to fight to the death. The lines are so parallel, but people don't realize that's exactly what's happening now. If you repeat a lie long enough over and over and over again, anyone will eventually believe it. If you keep saying the lie, repeating the lie, hearing the lie, writing the lie, saying the lie, seeing the lie, you will eventually start to believe the lie after a while. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that is why it is so important. Shows like yours, shows like ours, we keep bringing up the truth, regardless if it's not popular, regardless if it gets labeled as fake news by the lying media. It doesn't matter. We have to continue to bring it up, because if we don't, the history books will reflect where we stood, where we basically fell, and we did not come, we basically fell short. And they will rewrite the history books in their favor in whatever they want to do and lie to the rest of the generations for generation to come, Doug. And that's not something that I want to allow, at least on my shoulders.
You know, that is such an important aspect to all of this. The fact that we cannot allow them to rewrite history. We must not allow that to happen. We must not let them do that. And I want to thank you for that. And folks, Ted and Austin Brower, they've got a terrific show Monday through Friday. Spend an hour with them. Go to healthmasters.com, click on the link. And while you're there, make sure you load up on nutritional supplements, whether it's your Ultimate Multiple or vitamin B, C, D3, and K2, or even kits such as the Brower-Hagman Healthy Immune Kit. HR5 is the coupon code. That's healthmasters.com. So, you know, again, I want to thank you for really standing firm on that. And I think that all of us have to do that. And folks, we all, each one of us individually has that responsibility, especially if we have a presence, online presence. We have to do that to disallow them from changing or rewriting history. And I thank you for standing with us in that task. Austin, whatever else that you would, you want to venture to, what other topics, we can continue forward with this or anything at all that's on your plate.
One thing that I did want to just kind of touch briefly, since we were talking about a lot of the stuff with vaccines, and this is something that this is documented. This is a Bill Gates program that he started a couple years ago that they've been trying to basically work on. And I bring this up right now because it's interesting to see. The ID 2020 Alliance was something that was a digital identity program that was designed, that Bill Gates designed, to get basically people into a system so they could have a tiny microchip to monitor everybody's vaccines. Or another aspect of it was basically having almost a barcode scanner tattooed on your skin. This is not a science fiction film. This is actually something that they've been looking at and working on for some time to basically, and again, they've poised it. Let me clarify. They've poised this to be used in third world countries. This is what they've said it's for. And so they can tell and monitor when all these kids in these villages in Africa and so forth, they got to vaccinate all of them, what kids they know have been vaccinated already. So they're not over vaccinating kids, and they can scan and say, hey, this kid's already had all their vaccines. They don't need any more. This is a program they've been working on. Now, the irony of it is that it's basically called the ID 2020 Alliance. And it's ironic that it's this year now we're seeing this stuff roll out. And so my question is this, if you know that they're working on this technology, You know that they're trying to implement it in third world countries. What possibly makes you think with these guys, as greedy as they are and how much they love to make money off other people's demise, what makes you think they won't try to start doing this in the United States? So it's just something, I don't know, it's just a question, bring it up. Is this something that's really going to happen? Is ID 2020 Alliance really going to be implemented? Is it going to go further in third world countries? Has it already been rolled out, or is it something still in its infancy? That's something just to research and look at and just kind of, you know, look into it. Like I said, ask questions. But the biggest thing is we have to speak the truth. We have to continue to make sure that our kids know what's really happening right now. And also we're protecting them from all this garbage. I mean, that's a whole other topic of what we've seen now. And I said something on our show today on the Ted and Austin Brower show is I said, you know, right now, take this as a positive opportunity to spend more time with the family. Go buy some board games. Go buy some deck of cards. Go buy Uno. Go buy whatever you want. Go buy Clue, Monopoly. I don't care. Go buy something that you could. I've always had tons of board games in my house. I always like board games. The reason why is because it forces everybody to interact as a family. Everybody's got to interact. And it's so many times now in our lives with our kids, with our family, with these stupid phones that we have on us all the time, these iPads, computers, they can be a great tool, but they can also be a great distraction. And it's so many times now, our kids, you know, not mine, this is mine still really small, but so many times kids go home and they play video games. They come home from school and they go get on the iPad. They do all these different things. Parents are on the phones all night long. They don't spend much time together. They don't talk. And, you know, right now there's a high probability that they're probably going to shut down schools in the U.S. in the next couple of weeks and this escalates. They've already done it in, like, Saudi. They've done it in Italy. They've done it in Iran. Bunch of them off the top of my head have shut down schools completely. So there's a high probability you're going to be doing school from home. So take that as time to spend more time with the family. Eat clean, get your preps together, don't live in a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind and preparedness, and use it to play some board games. Landon and I have been doing that for months now. We got back into it, playing some, you know, basic board games with the kids, and then sometimes they go to bed, we'll play Uno or something. We've had a blast doing it, instead of watching TV or watching a movie, you know, or reading a book. Get some different books that you're interested in, and have something on backup. I just encourage people to do that right now because it's a great chance and great opportunity. It forces the family to actually have to interact, especially if you're at home, and say, hey, guys, guess what? We're playing game night tonight. We're going to throw the phones in the closet or the phones in the bedroom. We're going to have just a detox from electronics for the night. We're going to play Monopoly, and we're going to see who wins. And you can give them an incentive. Hey, whoever wins basically gets to, you know, pick something out next. I don't know, whatever you want to do.
Not do the dishes.
Yeah, there you go. Not do the, whoever loses does the dishes. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. All right, yeah. Yeah, you know, I was talking with my wife, and she said, boy, you know, she asked me if I'd like a vacation, or we were having a discussion what kind of vacation I would prefer. And, I described basically what would be house arrest. I would love just to be confined and not have to worry about anything. That's my idea of a vacation. And you're so right. You know, we live busy lives. All of us do. And I think if nothing else, one of the positives from this, if there can be positives, and I think there can be, is to reconnect with the family. And yes, you know, there's such a thing as information overload too. We suffer from it. I know you and your dad and I, you're so into the news. You're so into keeping, trying to inform others about what's happening that you get fatigued. And it's,
yes.
Man, I'll tell you something. So take a break from that. Stop watching this program. I'm telling you right now, take a break from this program. Sit down and play some board games with your family. Talk to your family. And, I really believe that. I really think that's so important today. And so, yes, and that would make self-quarantine, if that becomes a thing, that would make that even more tolerable, I believe. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned that ID 2020. I didn't realize that, this was discussed last year, and, they have ID2020.org. You reminded me of this. I guess I just didn't realize how well established it already is, with Bill Gates and combining this. What is it? Combining the vaccinations, or Big Pharma officially partnering with the tech industry to pair immunization with digital biometrics.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And what easier way to get the population to not only demand but submit to a full vaccine mandate with having a virus like this released. And because, like I said, here's the thing. You don't, that's one of my biggest things about vaccines. You don't know what they inject into you. I know the ingredient list. It blatantly says they have thimerosal in some of them. They, I know they have aluminum, which aluminum is toxic to the brain. They have MSG. They have formaldehyde. They have aborted fetal tissue. That's on the list. So that, they're telling you that's what's going into you. That's what's going into you at the very least. Well, how do you know they're not doing this biometric stuff? The ID 2020 is something that's troubling me when I first read about it a while back. And now that we're seeing all these things kind of align together, again, put the piece of the puzzle, do some research, ask questions. That's all I tell everybody. Ask questions. You don't have to believe me. Do your own research. That's what I do. I do my own research. I try to give it to everybody the best I can. That's why a lot of people trust what I say, because I do a lot of research. But if you don't want to believe what I say, that's fine too. Do your research. And then when you get done doing your research, come back and we'll compare notes. And I assure you, they'll be very similar. They may differ on a few things as far as opinion wise, but I guarantee you it'll be pretty similar.
Yeah, I think so. Now, do you think, and I know this is calling for your speculation, and I'm not going to hold you to this. In doing the week wrap as I do on Fridays, or I like to do on Fridays, do you think given everything you've seen with COVID-19 and its mutated strains, you said something earlier that you think the schools, we're going to see quarantines. Do you think 2 months from now, the United States is going to look a little bit different, or a lot different than what the way it looks now and operates right now? Yeah, I mean, already we're going to be, I can tell you we're going to be suffering from supply chain issues or supply issues from China. I couldn't believe 80% of our pharmaceuticals come from China. And how that happened, of course, through globalization. But do you see things being radically different, this country looking radically different in a couple of months?
It's very possible. I mean, is it going to happen? I don't know. But is it possible? It very well could be. There's no question about it. I mean, if it continues to go and escalates and this thing actually does really spread, I mean, when you factor in the shutting down of schools, you're going to factor in I know for a fact we're going to have a supply chain issue. That's going to be a fact, especially with everything that's going on in China right now. So you're going to look at everything across the board. I mean, it's another thing to think about as well. What happens when USPS workers and FedEx workers and UPS workers either get sick or they decide it's not worth the risk going out, and their union workers are like, dude, this is a risk. We're not going to take it. We're not going to go deliver packages anymore. What's going to happen to that point? I mean, that's just a thought. If it escalates to that, will it escalate that? I don't know. But I mean, you can pretty much do the math. You start adding things together. It takes one domino fall to make everything start falling into place in a bad or positive light. And the direction it's going is not positive right now.
That's right. Anything, by the way, I got an email from someone who said the way that I've been talking, it makes them feel that they're not prepared and they don't have money to prepare. And I wrote an email back to him saying, you know, it's not like that at all. It's not that we are over-prepared or prepared. It's, you know, how you could, that's the way they feel. And I said, the best way to combat that would be to, you know, you go to the grocery store, buy an extra can or two of food on every trip. And pretty soon that adds up very quickly. Do you think people are prepared for what's coming? The average person, and that's not a softball question. That's really kind of a question that I'm asking from what you said earlier, you know, paper towels, your wife said the paper towels were gone and, you know, big holes in the big box stores.
It appears that they're trying to get prepared at the very least right now. There's no doubt about that, that everybody's basically trying to get their stuff together, so to speak. So, I mean, the good thing about this is with everybody doing that is I think more people are going to be prepared than not, because everybody kind of saw the writing on the wall early. Now, granted, that's down here in Florida. I don't know about other parts of the country. But down here in Florida, again, like I said, we're always a tendency to be more paranoid anyways, because we're used to always having these giant hurricanes hit us and knocking trees down and knocking power out for weeks on end. So we're always kind of on that edge already, so we prepare faster. But for a lot of people, and to those questions, and I don't want to seem insensitive, but this is why I told people for years, start preparing some stuff. Yeah. Like you said, go grab a couple cans, grab a bags of pasta, organic pasta, store some stuff, rotate it, add a little bit more, rotate it, add a little bit more, rotate it, add a little bit more, rotate it. I've been saying this for years until I'm blue in the face, And now some people, and I've gotten the same questions, people are like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, but you can still go out and eat dinner occasionally. You can still have a $100 a month cable bill. You can still go out and go here and do this, do that, but you could spend an extra $5, $10 on canned food or $2 or $3 on an extra bag of pasta and, you know, basically just in storing it up here and there and here and there. To me, you know, that's very frustrating to hear questions like that because I'm like, guys, this isn't something that nobody's been talking about. We knew there was something going to happen over the last couple of years. You could feel it in the air. And if you couldn't, then you weren't listening to anything.
Amen. Austin, we're out of time. And by the way, if you're a Christian and you're listening to this and you know someone who just for reasons not by their own fault is unprepared, help them. Help them. Yeah. Give them a helping hand, you know. But thank you very much for your gift of time tonight. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. HR5 is good, right? HR5
is active. Yes, sir.
All right. And folks, please visit healthmasters.com right now, tonight. Visit healthmasters.com. HR5 is a coupon code. Thank you very much, Austin. And tell your dad I said hello. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. That'll do it for us today. Tonight, may God bless each and every one of you. I want to thank you so very much for tuning in, for being a patron of ours, for being supporting us by way of PayPal, and just for listening. God bless and stay safe. Until next time.